CliffCentral.com.
Good morning and welcome to another Gareth Cliff Show. This morning, live from our various houses, and because I can see Sia's in his office, he's obviously had to. Sia's had to go to the office this morning because he lives in one of those complexes where they don't have generators, but they get to hear the generators from the complex next door, the elitist complex next door, and he hates them. His hatred for them is growing stronger by the day.
Permeating through his skin.
Yeah, curses, curses.
I curse them for filth and their backup generators. Remember in the olden days when people, for example, would go off on ships for a long time, and then the ladies would stand and just wave with those scarves. I felt like they were doing that this morning. They're just all looking down on us from their balconies, going, ha ha ha, ha ha ha, ha.
Yeah.
Look at you all. That's a having to leave home.
Didn't John Lennon used to say something like, I want to thank all the fans for coming, and you can clap if you're in the bottom here. But if you're in the fancy boxes, you could just rattle your jewelry.
Something like that. Oh, curses to them!
Oh wow!
How are you, Pums?
And yes, that's just me and jealousy. That's all.
Oh, see, yeah, jealousy makes you nasty. Just move next door. Just move there.
Sigh. I'll be fine.
You know, I realized something the other day, talking about elitists. Like, I haven't, because I was going through my my Instagram posts and just seeing whether, you know, how much I've been through in the last 2-3 years, just to kind of compare year on year. Because I had a great 2019. It was one of my favorite years ever. In fact, I think it might have been my best year. And then, you know, 2020 came along, which was, to say the least, different. To say the most.
How much you've been through.
Yeah, I don't want to swear and tell you how much saying the most will be. But I looked at it and I realized I haven't bought new clothes for a very, very long time. I mean, I found, you know, when you think something's quite new in your cupboard, you're like, oh, I don't think I've had that for that long. Meanwhile, I've had it for like 4 or 5 years. I haven't bought new clothes in ages. So I don't want to spend money on clothes because we don't go out anymore as much as we used to, you know? So, well, what's the point?
You could spend money on tops. You could spend money tops. On tops.
Yeah, you wouldn't have to spend on... Right. I mean, for all you know, I could...
You
be,
don't need bottoms.
I could be wearing a dress right now and you wouldn't know, right? But it's a weird thing. Like, I just haven't spent... Even on shoes. Like, I saw a pair of shoes that I was wearing in New York in October 2019. And here I was thinking, but those are really new shoes. I bought those like last year. Oh, no.
Which I would have to show you. I do have to show you what shoes I'm wearing today.
Those are very cute.
That is cute.
Those are proper.
This is my standard.
Those are proper pantoffels.
Yeah. I haven't been in heels. Except I was in heels. I went to a meeting with a client in their actual office. I wore heels. It was nice.
Did it feel fallen to you?
Oh, it felt so good. So, yeah, I haven't worn heels in over a year. So even before there was the lockdown, I had stopped wearing heels. But whew, it was nice to be in those heels.
Well, you know, you talk about Pumi dressing up and me not buying clothes and people not spending during, you know, the lockdown and last year with the pandemic and everything else. But actually, I mean, there's evidence that there are still lots and lots of people with lots and lots of money. In fact, the people who had the people who had lots of money before the pandemic probably have even more now.
Have more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I was in Sandton a couple of Saturdays ago.
Yeah.
Because there's the butcher shop and they sell goat meat. But anyway, story for another day.
All right. Okay. There's a lot to unpack there, but okay.
Sure, we'll just breeze past that one.
But coming down the stairs, you know, by that diamond walk.
Yes.
There was an actual queue, guys, an actual queue of many, many, many people waiting outside the Louis Vuitton store to go inside.
Yep. No.
Because they they only allow 14 people into the store. That in itself just blows my mind. What are 14 people doing inside the Louis Vuitton store? But they actually had 14 people inside and a queue of about 20 other people patiently waiting to go inside. Just like, I'm sure these people aren't waiting to go inside the store to like window shop.
Not at all.
A queue, guys, about like 20 people and all the other stores. So the Louis Vuitton store is next to the Ferragamo store. Nobody in Ferragamo. Louis Vuitton. Queue.
Wow. I saw some easy tweeted something yesterday. I don't know, Sia. I don't know. But it's not just Louis Vuitton because, you know, Pumi will know about this. But Porsche apparently delivered 272,162 new vehicles in 2020.
New. Not like, not secondhand, pre-owned, pre-loved.
Yeah.
Brand new.
But
where are people going in their Porsches? Like in my mind, a Porsche is that car that needs an open road, top down. You know, it's like, and we were all locked down. The whole world was locked down. Where were people going in their Porsches? Were they just buying them to keep them in the garage? Can't be. Can't be.
Hey, basically.
Just a quick thing. Sorry. So just some household maintenance here. Simpiwe, if you're just at the desk, apparently our left channel only is working on the Cliff Central website, so it means they're on the rack.
Well,
you know which
don't one. Worry, I'll just bring down the corridor to her.
Oh, yeah.
Simpi-
Well, I mean, I've been at the office now. I've been at the office Monday and yesterday, and I'm going in tomorrow, and I might even have to go in today, depending on how things go. So, to me, this has been like one of the busiest weeks, despite that public holiday. But we digress. I wanted to go back to this money thing because I saw Somizi tweeted something yesterday, which just blew my mind. Because, look, I mean, I like Somizi. You know, we get along well. We've laughed a lot together. We've had a lot of fun. He's a good guy. I think he's hilarious. I don't know what's happened with his relationship.
And he's an LV fan. He's a big LV fan.
Big LV.
He even has an LV visor.
This is what made me think of him, is you brought up Louis Vuitton. So he tweeted this very weird thing out yesterday, which makes me a little bit sad, I got to tell you. And I can't help thinking, look, he's been hurt by, you know, his last relationship not working out so well. And I don't know what happened there because I haven't spoken to him in the last 6 to 8 months. But he tweets out this, and I know maybe he's being funny or maybe it's like revealing a little bit of real pain. He says, I won't even date someone unless I've seen 6 months of bank statements. And I thought,
oh, I saw that.
You know, I thought either that's pain or that's, you know, it's a not so funny joke, because that is just the kind of crass materialism that I think we're developing a very bad reputation in South Africa for, especially wealthy South Africans, and Somizi's in that category, right? There's a lot of kind of new money South African attitudes that are just not healthy. And I wonder in relationships, because we've already got this blessee culture, which is so dangerous, because you want to talk about a lack of dignity and people being treated like assets. And, you know, a lot of people criticize, who was it that we had on our show not so long ago? Makosi Kwaza, I think it was, who said that she, oh no, no, it was.
No, it couldn't be no, Makosi Kwaza.
It was Thuli Madonsela who said she believes that the whole idea of lobola is outdated and needs to be scrapped now, which is controversial and we don't need to go into that. But the idea of blessers and blessees is even more obviously ugly, and there are problems with that for anybody who believes in human dignity, right? And that's in the Constitution. So whether you believe in it or not, that's kind of part of our law. And I think about Somizi's comment about 6 months of bank statements. I think about the blessee situation. I think about people who are lining up outside the Louis Vuitton store during what is an obvious recession, during what is a time where people, this is not the time to be showing off, even if you have money. Because I think it's dangerous. This is like Marie Antoinette, let them eat cake. It's like Sia says, his people at the complex opposite him switching on their generators when the people in his complex don't have any power. You got to be careful, hey? Like that kind of stuff. That's where revolution starts to get very ugly and pitchforks come out. And I just think we've got to be conscious of not showing off if we're doing okay. One of my friends started a business 3 years ago, 2 years ago, no, 3 years. 3 years ago, and it's really doing well. I mean, he's making so much money at the moment. It's just, and I wish him all the success in the world. And he and I had a conversation the other day, and I was saying to him, listen, dude, you deserve everything that you've got now, and congratulations, and I know how hard you work, and blah, blah, blah. And he said to me, you know, he's got to be so careful about who he says anything to about the business. He can tell me because he knows I'm not going to be jealous, and I'm not going to try and break him down. And I'm not going to mention his name or what his business is now on the show, because there are people, when someone does well, that genuinely don't wish you well. And he says he's not going to show his success to anyone, certainly not while all of this is going on.
So, but there's a line. There's a line between kind of flaunting your wealth in people and like shoving it in people's faces, and the space where people are just jealous, and there's nothing you can do about that jealousy, right?
No, that's true.
And you should be able to enjoy your success. And you don't, and it doesn't have to be crass. Enjoying your success does not have to be crass. It just, you know, living a good life. If that's the life you've always wanted to live, that's the life you've always wanted to live. But then there is also, just because of, I think the materialism that we live with, the kind of the Instagram life.
Yes.
That there's this kind of overtly saying, look at me, and all the money I spend, and all the food I eat, and all the clothes I wear. And
you've just encapsulated social media in three phrases. Look at me, all the money I spend, all the food I eat, all the clothes I wear. And just all the things I have to say. That would be the fourth one in that social media footage.
And I mean, look, we've talked about some of this stuff on the show before. Some of the things that give a lot of us more joy than, you know, a yacht or a Porsche or anything like that, even though I've never had a yacht or a Porsche, to me, it's the little things that we should be celebrating. And I mean, not flaunting these in other people's faces either, but, you know, the fact that you've got a cup of coffee in the morning, which we have every day on the show here, or, you know, having your family around you during a time like this, those are the kind of things that I wouldn't have a problem if people showed those off, because those are examples of what you can have in your life to make you happy. Little things, you know, you've got a warm bed to sleep in. You know, if you showed those off, and those are things that are accessible to everyone. I mean, they're accessible to most people who can scrape together a living, who can get a job, and you know, we know what that problem is in our country too. I feel like a lot of this crass, you know, right at the top materialism, not the kind of in the middle materialism. Middle class materialism is like, you know, so I bought some red meat from the butchery this week, or those are not things, you know. You mentioned going to a place to buy some very specific meat that you wanted, Pums. That's like, you know, I'm not jealous of that at all, but I think it's cool that, you know, you're in a position to buy something like that for whatever purposes you want to have it, and you should be able to.
Yeah.
I find the people like right
so
at the top.
So then wait, can I play the devil's advocate? Yo, yeah, why does it have to change?
I'll tell you why.
Same principle.
Because applies, yeah,
to middle class, why did it have to change?
You know, someone in a shitty situation who's got no money at all isn't going to go, well, screw Pumi for her little bit of goat meat. But if someone is buying, you know, jewelry and an expensive car, and they're putting that all over the place, and, you know, they're showing off that they're buying bottles of, you know, 15-year-old whiskey to guzzle down at a club, I just feel like that's widening that gap between people.
No, I think here in South Africa, though, the resentment is because, you know, the unearned
Ah, well, maybe that's it.
That's where the resentment is. You know, I think the resentment, and I saw somebody sent a message earlier saying you've got to tell that to ANC cadres, right? Mm. I don't know if y'all were watching the reality show on Monday night.
The reality show. Is that what we've been used to now?
with Norma, right? Mm. And that was... absolutely. Somebody said to me it was like watching The Worst of Us, because the way in which the money is changing hands, the way the money is spent, there's a clear understanding that these guys don't know the value of money.
Yeah, they just didn't earn it. Yeah.
Because they don't have to work for it, right? Everything gets paid for, and they still get a salary, and they still get like bags stuffed with cash.
Yeah.
And so when she says, oh, you know, just spent like 5 million on the wedding in 2010, you're just like, fuck you. Right. You're just like,
yeah. And cash in bags, you know, like
fuck you. Really? What?
Maybe that's it. I think you probably hit the nail on the head. Anyway, we do have some clarity. Mary says about the Somgaga story. Let me just find it. Oh, Keenan does not like the way Sia touches his face all the time. He's got some kind of
problem. Sorry, Keenan, it's my face, not yours.
Yeah. No, fuck you, Keenan. Mary says about the Somgaga story. Someone asked him if he could date him on Twitter, and he said what you said. Okay, so then I didn't know what the conversation was about, but I just saw that and thought, ugh, in these times when... you know, when we did have Norma before the State Capture Commission, it's just horrible. Anyway, sounds like you're describing every politician, especially politicians here in South Africa. That's from Auxie Head. Yeah. Sia, you want to say?
See, I've been biting my tongue considering, do I say this and sound superficial?
Go for it.
Or will I be able to concisely and eloquently explain what I'm saying to the point where perhaps you would consider my opinion?
Go for it.
So I could date anyone from any walk of life.
Mm.
That is great. Oh, we can lit up and you can give me a Ferrari or one rose petal for Valentine's Day and vice versa, depending on my pocket.
Fair enough.
But and however... perhaps it's because it's not something that I particularly aspire to, aspire for. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to marriage, I would not see myself wanting someone else to take care of me, or this is where it's tricky, dating lower than me in terms of a financial sector. Because life is already tough, guys. And we're already trying to string ourselves together. And now I must say, from your little bit, you must take care of me. If your little bit is actually a whole lot of a bit, then great. Bob's your uncle, we'll be together and happy. But if we now have to struggle together and end up living underneath a bridge, when really a marriage, if it is a community of property, is about, you know, let's put our money together, let's get that bond secured, and let's be able to holiday well, and let's be able to raise kids together. I don't want to struggle if I'm in a marriage. I'm sorry.
That's okay, Sia.
No, I don't think that's too superficial. I hear you, but I think you got to be a little bit careful. I mean,
that's okay. But you know, there's a line.
You know, when Jeff Bezos's wife married him, she didn't know she was going to become the richest woman in the world when she divorced him a few years later. You also got to pick, you know, this is where if you pick someone for the right reasons, sometimes you end up way better off than if you pick them for financial reasons.
I don't know.
You know, you're supposed to marry for better or for worse, not just for better.
Yeah, for richer, for poorer, but also let's remember that marriage is also an economic contract. Let's remember that. And so how that binds you together is a different story. You know, I have a friend who's in the process of getting married right now, and she's a young woman. She's educated. She is self-employed, you know, just going up the ranks to becoming even more successful. And she thought and has decided she will still get married in community of property. And I thought, no, don't do that. Separate what's yours from theirs. And she says, no, because as much as, you know, times may evolve and change, I'm still a woman and I will still bear him kids. And I still, for 9 months, for example, will be somewhat on the back end of this relationship, even if it's something as frivolous as going to a doctor's appointment, or then today I don't necessarily feel like working and I just want to be on the couch. I'm already on the back end while his career is flourishing. Then she also noted when the kids come about, you know, kids will have the tendency to just lean on the mother. And so she'll have to go and pick the kids up, or she'll have to go for parents' evening. That's not a big thing in the greater scheme of things. But she says, no, I'm making sacrifices for him. Yes, for us, ultimately.
Sure.
But I deserve. I deserve his money in this instance. And I thought, okay, girl.
Except there are so many impractical reasons to that. Like the outdated needing your husband's signature to get into contracts. That's going to come back to like be a bit of a thing if she's on her own, if she's got her own business and stuff. That's a thing. It's a real thing. But hey, but I think, Sia, the real line is in what you are willing to endure for a person's money. That's where the real line is. If you're willing to like take the crap simply because you're like addicted to that person's money, then you've got a problem. Yeah. But if it's just like, I just want to have a good life, and you know what I'm saying, then it's okay. It's not superficial at all. But if you're willing to like, like he's a crappy person, he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? If he's a terrible person and you're willing to endure all of that and diminish yourself simply because you want access to that money, then you've got a problem.
Well, B says, I come from a family culture that prides itself on frugal living. Ostentatious people appear shallow and soulless to us. I think that there are probably a lot of people who can identify with that. And I don't think that's B being superior. I think that's how she sees the world. This is interesting. Sometimes showing off is all people have, says Venetia. I have a friend who always talks about how big her house is and how she can only drive a big car. I mean, it always makes its way into conversation, says Venetia. I've realized all she's got to add to conversation and doesn't bother me anymore because I don't want what she has. But for her, obviously, that's important. And then Monica's just agreeing with Pumi here. Good point, Pumi. When the money is undeserved and unearned, it rubs you up the wrong way. I think that's exactly right.
You see, and Urvesh is also talking about how she needed a no objection letter from her husband to work and get a driver's license.
Yes. Yeah.
That's
well. Also, you know,
there's a lot of practical reasons for certain regimes of marriage, not just like also, the sharing of money.
You know, you shouldn't. The fact that we all know, I mean, you know, you can guess, you can mostly guess, let me put it that way, what someone is worth because of what they have. That's not necessarily what they're worth. You don't know what investments they have. You don't know what money they have that they don't show off.
You don't know what crypto they keep it.
Exactly.
Mining.
I mean, even these billionaires who you see on the Forbes list, you don't know what they're really worth, especially if they have private companies. The only one who knows what that private company is worth is them and their auditors and the tax man sometimes. But you don't.
even the tax man is suspect. He doesn't really know.
No, exactly. So you don't know. I mean, sure, if it's a listed company, you can calculate by their share percentage what they own. But that's a very broad estimate. You don't know what their other assets are. As Pumi says, they could own a whole bunch of crypto. They could own properties all over the world that are not disclosed. And those are not available in some database that you can just go and look up. I mean, when Forbes do these calculations, they do it very broadly, and it's a guess, it's an estimate. So we don't know. Some people may be way more valuable They may have more assets than we know about, and some may have a lot less. I mean, some of the people you think are rich, they owe the bank tons of money. That's something interesting. You know, a lot of people who are very showy They have sleepless nights every night because they like this country. We owe more than we get. They're basically in the red the whole time.
That's the Twitter joke, isn't it?
What's the Twitter joke?
About Midrand, that all these guys driving around in GTIs in Midrand have camp chairs in their lounges.
Yeah,
a little back to that Louis Vuitton story and pricing and whatnot. There are some things that I'm so glad I think we'll never be able to shake, and that is spending large amounts of money. And I've said this to a friend of mine who really works and loves name brand stuff. You know, they go to Diamond Walk and it's a thing, and they, you know, they like that. But I cannot imagine swiping 15,000 rands for a pair of shoes. I just can't imagine it. You will put this on, you will walk 300 meters, there's a piece of dust. Imagine scuffing a 15,000 rand shoe and what that does to your soul.
Yeah.
Or someone stepping on you in the club.
Imagine. Then what do you do? How does that feel okay with you? Or do you have so much money that really that your 15,000 rand is our
maybe
200 rand?
Maybe, but I'm with you. There's just some stuff I'll never pay more than, you know, for these these cars that cost like 10 million rand. You know what I'm talking about, right? These, you get these 10 million rand cars, and it doesn't matter if I'm a billionaire one day. I just don't think I'll ever pay that for a car, ever. It's a weird thing.
I've said to them, look, next time you even need to go and keyring.
Yeah.
Or a belt. I just want to go. Let's make it an excursion. I really want to go in there and see what happens, how much these things are. Just, it's oddly fascinating.
And the weirdest thing is, like, some of these people who have all that stuff would give their eye teeth, and they'd give all of their money to have your health, for example. Like, you might not feel like you're the healthiest person in the world, but because you woke up without pain this morning, some of those billionaires would say, if I could swap with you now, I would. And we don't take, you know, because you don't think about it. Or you think, well, I'm 22, and I've got all this energy, and I'm full of life, and I'm excited, and some 80-year-old would be willing to give every cent they've ever earned to feel 22 again, and they can't. There's nothing they can do about it. We've got to be.
And I suppose it's making a decision about what the things that make you happy are.
Yeah.
And they don't always have to correlate to money. You know. So sometimes you just, you know, want to hang out with your friends in your backyard and chat till, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
it's nice if you got bubbly. But it doesn't have to be verve.
I'd like to put a disclaimer for what they want to win the lotto, and then you guys see me on Diamond Walk. Don't hold it against me. Let's just put a little caveat today.
So let's get to some headlines, because it's time for the headlines. We'll come back to this in a minute. Apparently, the NPA are saying that the man that they accused of starting a fire on the slopes of Devil's Peak could not be linked to arson. His name is Frederick Hangazo, and he appeared at the Cape Town Magistrates Court on Tuesday, was granted bail of 500 rand. He was arrested on the 18th of April after a Devil's Peak resident reported seeing a group of men starting at least three separate fires on the mountain slopes. Earlier that day, a wildfire started at Rhodes Memorial and ravaged parts of UCT. Hangazo was never linked to the devastating blaze that destroyed the historic buildings. During his court appearance on Tuesday, the 35-year-old man had his arson charge changed to lighting or causing an open fire without proper authority. So, in other words, they can't prove that it was arson. They can say that he started a fire that he shouldn't have, and that might have turned into another fire at some point, but they can't say he started that fire himself. For all the wrong reasons.
Malicious intent.
Malicious intent, correct. So we will have to see what happens there. But obviously, you know, if they do find this person, I mean, we should have them locked up for the rest of their lives. I mean, you can't, if you are starting fires maliciously, I don't think anyone has any sympathy for you, right? We've lost so much valuable stuff. And luckily, no lives were lost in that fire.
No lives.
Thank God. But to me, the African collection at the UCT is worth a couple of lives. I mean, I'll say that out front. I could care less if we lose a couple of people, but those books and those original documents are priceless. And, you know, we have lots of people who've proven through their actions that in South Africa they are not worth very much. And I'm sorry to say that, because I know a lot of people get offended when you talk like that. But we do have people who behave extremely stupidly in South Africa. And one of those people would be the person who did start that fire with malicious intent, if there is such a person. Anyway.
I wonder, I don't have this information, how the education plan at UCT has been or hasn't been affected by this fire. You know, that largely have been working remotely. So were they able to just continue on that way, or have some things been disrupted? I wonder if anyone knows.
Well, I mean, the problem here is these are source materials, and there are plenty of people's plenty of people's doctor's theses, master's dissertations that would have been in that library too, that are probably not digitized. I mean, they would have digitized some of the library, but there's probably lots that they didn't, and that stuff's lost now.
Why do theses sound wrong?
Theses.
What's the plural of
theses? I think it should be
besides.
Theses. Anyway. Minister Zweli Mkhize on Wednesday said South Africa would be negotiating for an additional 10 million doses of Russia's Sputnik V and China's Sinovac vaccines while the process of registering them for use in the country continued. Mkhize said the two vaccines were at different stages in the process of being registered by the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. The minister said department officials briefed Parliament's Health Portfolio Committee earlier on Wednesday.
India's not exporting any of their vaccines.
Right. They have to use it for themselves.
They have serious need.
So
I read a thing last night.
Go ahead.
About one in three COVID infections is in India.
Wow.
That's like 30% of all COVID infections are in India. Can you imagine?
Pums, are you registering for a vaccine?
I am eventually when my time comes.
And do you mind?
We've registered our parents.
You don't mind if it's Johnson & Johnson or the Sinovac one from China or the Sputnik V from Russia. You don't care as long as it's one of these.
As long as it's one of them. I think that if anything, we know this has been incredibly crazy how fast this vaccine's come out, right? Because normally they take like 7 years or something. Mm. So here we are, vaccinating.
Yeah,
I'll take the vaccine.
I'm in no hurry to do it. And I'm also in no hurry to travel again. So even if they say there's a travel vaccine, I'm not lining up and I'm not going on some database to register for it. But I'm also not an anti-vaxxer, so I'm perfectly happy with everyone else doing it. I do know that they're starting to go down the age groups now. They started with the 80, 70-year-olds. Now they're going to the 60-year-olds and so on. So if you have registered, it'll be coming to you soon.
Except they're just registering people. They're just registering people and not vaccinating anyone. That's the irritation.
Yeah, well, let's see if Zweli Mkhize can get this right. I mean, this is not a government which prides itself on service delivery in any shape. So let's see if this actually happens. And then while we're talking about the government and the ANC, apparently this is a big breaking news story this morning. Former Northwest Premier Supra Mahumapelo has been suspended from the ANC for 5 years. He's accused of advising a mayor to ignore an instruction to resign. The party had previously temporarily suspended him. Their interim provincial committee said it's waiting for the outcome of the disciplinary proceedings. So what? What happens to him? So he can't be a member of the ANC for 5 years.
And in 3 of those years, he has to go in and take some political education from former President Thabo Mbeki.
Oh, really?
Mentorship.
Oh, really?
Wait, really?
Yes, really. For 3 years, he has to go.
And they call it political internship.
They said mentorship.
Mentorship. Mm.
Well,
but he's suspended. So what it means? Tell us what it means. His suspension. What his suspension means is that he cannot participate in party structures for 5 years. He can't go to branch meetings. He can't vote. He can't stand for election for 5 years. He can't participate in party structures.
So that actually is a punishment for someone like him because he can't really do anything else. So he's basically unemployed. Mm. He's been sentenced to unemployment for 5 years.
It's a real. Well, he's not sentenced to unemployment. He can go and do something else if he's got the wherewithal.
But he doesn't.
but for somebody whose identity is so intricately linked to an organization like this, it's a real punishment. It's real punishment.
Do you think he's just?
He feels it deeply. Hey, there's videos of him on the timelines from last night. I don't know when the videos are from, but they were on the timeline last night after the announcement of his suspension. Aggrieved, deeply aggrieved, aggrieved by the process, aggrieved from being suspended.
Do you think they're going after him hard? I mean, do you think that this is something that's particularly nasty and directed at him and he's a sacrificial lamb of some kind? Or do you think that this is just what they would do for anybody if they had the charges that they've got against him?
You know what? I really don't think about these guys and what they have to.
I've
stopped caring. No, really.
We know that Didi Mabuza and Ace Magashule were all very tight during the Zuma years, right? They were called the
Premier League.
Premier League, that's right.
The Premier League.
That's right. And those three were all in each other's pockets and they were all managing their provinces like their fiefdoms. So if this could happen to Supra, is that an indication that it might also happen to the other two?
Look, I don't think he is being particularly targeted viciously. Mm. I think that there's just politicking happening in the ANC and these are the battles. The battle lines are drawn and soldiers on both sides are going to fall.
Okay. All right. Well, moving overseas, the FBI has carried out searches at the home and office of Rudy Giuliani, who is Donald Trump's personal lawyer. The raid is part of a probe into Mr. Giuliani's dealings with the Ukraine. His lawyer says he denies breaking the law. Before the 2020 presidential election, Mr. Giuliani led an effort to find incriminating information about Democratic candidate Joe Biden and his son Hunter in Ukraine. Mr. Biden won the election, and he and his son have denied any wrongdoing. Mr. Trump was impeached in 2019 over allegations that he sought help from the Ukraine to boost his chances of re-election. So it sounds like a bit of a tit-for-tat situation there. It's like you investigated us when you were there. Now we'll investigate you. Anyway, Biden has celebrated a speech in front of the joint sessions of Congress. It's kind of like a State of the Union, but it isn't. He triumphantly declared on Wednesday night that the United States is on the move again in a rousing speech to Congress, calling for trillions of dollars to rebuild the post-COVID U.S. middle class and give life to forgotten workers. Lauding the success of mass vaccination, Biden told Congress and the nation on primetime television that in America, we always get up. Yeah, except when you fall on the stairs on the way up onto the plane.
Ooh.
And again, with another turn, America is ready for takeoff, he said. Well, how could it not be, Joe, when you've just printed almost $10 trillion? $10 trillion. Do you know that is more than three times what America spent in World War II, even with inflation? I mean, that's just phenomenal amounts of artificial money that's been pumped into the system. I mean, that's not an achievement. If anything, that is burdening and shouldering your children with something that they'll never be able to pay back. That's not something to be proud of, just printing money like that. We'll see how this ends.
Also, it wasn't that rousing because Ted Cruz fell asleep.
I don't believe that. I'm surprised Biden stayed awake, frankly. I mean, it's great that he stayed awake. He had his 100th day in office and called the vaccine rollout one of the greatest logistical achievements in U.S. history, except that was already going full steam ahead before he became president, but we'll just pretend we didn't see that. Biden, who is quickly pivoting to insisting that his national effort must now focus on rebuilding the economy and fighting inequality, with the largest jobs plan since World War II. Well, haven't we heard governments saying they've got jobs plans before? I mean, even our government's constantly talking about jobs. But for me, the ugly truth is that jobs aren't created by government, are they?
No, jobs aren't created by government. They are, their duty is simply to create an enabling environment for business to create jobs.
Correct. Meanwhile, what's going on in America, interestingly enough, if you are paying attention, is that about 5 or 7 seats have actually shifted in Congress from blue states to red states. And the reason that's happened is people are actively migrating out of Democrat-controlled cities. New York has lost population. The census has just been completed. People are leaving California. They're leaving New York State. They're leaving most of the big cities because those places are not pleasant places to live. And they're moving to other parts of America. And that means that the Republicans are going to pick up some seats in Congress because that's based on population. And this is really annoying the Democrats because they've just won this election, right? And they just won the House and they just won the Senate. And they just won the White House. And now the population dynamics are showing that that doesn't necessarily make more Americans happy. So there's a whole lot going on there that we need to pay attention to. And I would be very circumspect about Joe Biden talking about how much he's doing when all he's doing is borrowing from people. And yes, he said new taxes are part of that. So here's the part that would affect anybody who is trying to eke out a living in the United States right now. Americans earning less than $400,000 a year will face no extra taxes, but the top tax rate will increase from 37% to 39.6%. It's not a huge increase, but it will bring in some more money for the government. And the proposed new splurge comes after Congress already approved a $1.9 trillion American Rescue Plan, which injected stimulus into every corner of the economy, now debating a proposed $2 trillion-plus infrastructure plan. Spend, 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 spend. So let's see what happens. Those are the main headlines this morning. Those are some of the things you need to know. All right. And of course, anybody who's involved in the American stock market at the moment, you probably want to move that into something that's not going to be touched by Joe Biden's taxes. So get it into Bitcoin. I mean, that's what everybody's doing anyway. There are a few things I want to talk about while we're talking about America. I don't know if you saw, but the ratings are out for the Oscars. Did you see that? Very bad. So the Oscars have, for the first time in history, since the history of measurable television, dropped below 10 million viewers for the Oscars over the course of that evening. It seems that less people every year. Remember, it halved the year before. Now it's halved again. So there are less people watching the Oscars than ever. And I think this is probably because...
Do you think it's because of the format?
Could be the format, but I think it's mostly because people are just sick of being lectured by a whole bunch of elitists in Hollywood. They're sick of being told by people in Hollywood about movies that nobody's seen. I mean, is there one of those movies that you've seen? I can't even name it.
Well, it's also...
Yes.
I think which it's one, the Pums? Standard of the movies as well.
So I don't know. I mean, I think that so many things have shifted in the past couple of years. I don't think people are going to the cinema as much as they used to. Obviously, last year, the cinema experience was almost next to nothing. So people don't have the investment. I remember there was a time when the Oscars would not come without me having watched at least 50% of the films that have been. But that's because you could, right? So Ster Kinnikor here would have a whole roster of all of the films coming out. So you've seen them and you have a view and you have excitement about it. I have a friend whose pride and joy was the fact that he could call all the winners. So he'd run a little lottery on these are the, and bet against people. I mean, he was a monster when it came to that thing. But now, we'd much rather be watching Netflix at Amazon, and I'm very happy Netflix actually won so much because that's where people are watching.
That's exactly where we all are.
Yeah. We're on Amazon, Netflix. But I also think the other thing that's happened in the past 2 years is that And that's why I said, do you think it's the format? So all of the excitement of who's there, who's wearing what, who's doing this, all of that stuff is also... And without Joan Rivers, really, is there a reason to wash the red carpet?
I agree with that. Anyway, it's just, I thought it was really interesting because I do think people are turning, just like they're moving out of the big cities in America, and they're turning their backs on, you know, badly run places. And it's only really the very rich who have private security who don't care about how bad their neighborhoods get, or the people who can go to their holiday homes whenever they want to. But for ordinary Americans, they're turning their backs on that stuff. And I think they're turning their backs on Hollywood. I don't need, and I'm not even an American, it doesn't irritate me as much, but I don't need to watch the Oscars. What am I going to see? I'm going to see people who are already living great lives, who already think that they're more important than anyone else, telling each other how important they are and congratulating each other with golden statues and having the temerity to tell ordinary people how bad they are. You know, you are polluting the earth. You don't care about climate change. Meanwhile, these are the ones who fly around in their private jets. These are the ones who get gift bags. What were they worth, Sia? You told me on Monday.
No, they were getting diamonds.
Diamonds.
And they were getting holidays.
Yes. Diamonds and holidays and islands. And yes, this is in
so
their gift
did you
bags.
Not watch my octopus? But, so does no. that mean you did not watch my octopus teacher?
No.
I watched one of the movies.
Marini's Black Bottom.
No, it's a short film, and I think it's just not worth the hype.
Just as Strangers.
Yes. Confusing. No. 30 minutes later, then I went, come on. Yeah, I think just the age of it is gone. But it's also funny to me how precious we are about what is of value and what is important now, when in 30, 50 years' time, we will have moved to something completely different and we'll wonder, why were we even so hung up on this? I think perhaps I have this viewpoint because this week I've been watching in bits and pieces, but I finally completed it yesterday, a documentary called Nothing Left Unsaid. And I'm sure a lot of us know Anderson Cooper, he's the CNN journalist, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. But I think less of us in a South African context would know about his mother. But I've always been fascinated about his mother's Gloria Vanderbilt. Mm. And she was from an aristocrat family, like through and through aristocrats. Mm. Her grandfather was one of the main guys in the US who started the train system and linking up the train system. So that is how they got a ton of their money from transport, et cetera, et cetera. And she just grew up in this age of dating Frank Sinatra. And it was normal for her when she was born, her parents left for a 6-month holiday. It was just like, all right, yeah, we have a kid, but this is not important. And they left. And to think about that was the time, just 60, 70 years ago, and look at how much has changed now. So heaven only knows what life will be like in the next 50 years and how we'll think back to the fact that, oh my gosh, we used to want to watch Kim Kardashian live on Instagram. When in future, who knows, we'll just want to watch what SpaceX is doing, and that's the most important thing. So, times are changing. That's all.
Wait, Sia, do you watch Kim Kardashian live on Instagram?
Hey. You say this will be a character assassination. I was just making examples.
I'm just joking. Just checking.
Well, I mean, while we're talking
about judgments,
while we're talking about the Oscars in California, I mean, this is big news, and we didn't even refer to it on Monday. But Caitlyn Jenner announced that he'll be running for governor of California.
She will
be running for California governor in the next election. In fact, if Governor Gavin Newsom is thrown out because there are like millions of signatures that people in California want to get rid of him, then it might be Caitlyn Jenner. Do you think that's important? Do you think that would be good? Do you take this person seriously? Well, is this a serious person?
What's important is, do Californians take this person seriously?
I don't know.
Because that's really the true test of it, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's in the voting. It's in the voting. Guys, I will be very intrigued to see it. I really will. I think it's there's so many shifting sands. Like everything is shifting underneath the feet of people. And it's good. I love it. I love it.
What I've now questioned so much since I heard former President Obama write about it and speak about it, you know, with his book, is the level of, and he used this word even, and I think it's apt, the level of megalomania one must have to put themselves in a position of power, to say, I think I am the best person to run and rule all of you. So yes, it's slightly different in a governor position as opposed to president. But Caitlyn Jenner sat and she said, you know what?
I could be the next governor of California.
The warped sense of reality and also the lack of self-awareness that one must have in a position like hers to go, actually,
Why do you think it's a lack of self-awareness? I think it's important to have people who are willing to stand up and be ridiculed and be willing to be ridiculed. To stand up for what they believe in and be willing to be ridiculed. You can imagine. You've seen what it looks like in the States when there's, or even here when there's elections, and the way people like throw jibes at each other and curse each other. I think it's important to have people like that. Because if we don't have people like that, if we don't have people who are so willing to stand up for what they believe in and what they think a lot of people believe in and could stand behind, then we're going to be completely hoist on our own petard, my friend, because then all the bad people stand anyway.
You know, I just can't take, I mean, like Caitlyn Jenner is just not it's just a ridiculous person. Caitlyn Jenner is just a ridiculous product of reality TV and that stupid and ridiculous family that she's a part of. And you know, I only say she with protest because, I mean, here's Chris saying there are only two genders, period. Don't bend like a green blade of grass, Gareth. No, I've always been very clear about this. I don't believe that that Caitlyn Jenner is suffering from anything but attention seeking and gender dysphoria mixed together in a nice cauldron of total mental breakdown. There's nothing normal about that person, and they're insane in my opinion. And I don't take them seriously, no matter what. I'll only say she because it's funny. And if that comes across as mockery, good. Too bad for those people who are offended. I hope that satisfies your question, Chris. But I'm not interested in making people feel better about someone like Caitlyn Jenner. If Caitlyn Jenner is Jenner is someone who you regard as an exemplar of any community, let alone the trans community, then too bad for you. Then you're going to be, as Pumi says, hoisted on her petard. As a ridiculous petard, and I'm not using the word the P in that word correctly. I should be using an R.
Would you, or don't even care to consider her on the aspects of just credentials?
Well, she has no credentials. First of all, so Caitlyn Jenner is a lifelong Republican, despite the fact that the Republican Party is hardly.
I tried.
Caitlyn Jenner is hardly a good example of the trans community. If you're going to elect someone, must it be this ridiculous pantomime horse of a person? And Caitlyn Jenner claims to be a Republican, right? And claims to have voted for Republicans in every election, including for Donald Trump during the last election. But clearly, there is a cognitive dissonance between what Caitlyn Jenner thinks the Republicans stand for, unless she's really only interested in lower taxes, and what they actually stand for. Because you would think Caitlyn Jenner would find a much better political home in the Democratic Party. So I just don't feel that this is a serious person. I mock those Republicans who think that this is a way of kind of giving the left a taste of their own medicine, because I don't believe that's happening either. I think that someone like Caitlyn Jenner is ridiculous in every way. She's ridiculous. She's a ridiculous, ridiculous person. It would be
my final word on this.
Mm?
Remember, we're gearing up for a new franchise and a new season of the Kardashians and their show. Full stop.
I can honestly say to you, Sia, I've never watched an episode, so that means nothing to me.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a new plot. It's a new plot in the series.
It's a plot.
Caitlyn's running for governor. How does the family react? Will they talk to her? Will they not?
That's exactly right. That's exactly what it is. It's part of their, rather than making the state of California's executive office a goal that Caitlyn Jenner would aspire to, Caitlyn Jenner is turning that into part of the plot of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, which is their real business. It's just crazy that we allow ourselves to be led by the nose by these morons. They're morons. That whole family are morons. If all of them were struck by lightning individually tomorrow, it wouldn't make a goddamn difference to the way the world spins. Not a single shred of difference. I promise you now, everything would carry on as it was before.
Let's not forget that the Terminator was also once governor of California.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I'm saying. It is a ridiculous state, so maybe they deserve a ridiculous governor. All right. When we come back, we've got the burning platform, which is always my favorite part of the week because we get to discuss non-Kardashian things. And we're going to talk this morning. We haven't even addressed this in the first hour of the show this morning. Cyril Ramaphosa at the State Capture Commission, which I think people were watching all day yesterday. Some people were very interested. Some people said it amounted to nothing. We'll find out what you have to say about that in the next hour. We'll also talk to Lito Ndoba, who we've had before on the show and who's terrific. He is from the Central University of Technology. He's a debater and a socio-political analyst. And, of course, with Pumi Mashego and I, we'll all be talking about what's going on in South Africa. We'd like to have your suggestions of what you'd like to talk about, the things that you're most interested in. And you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090. And you can get us directly on YouTube with the comments, which we look at all the way through the live show this morning. If you're listening on podcast, you can obviously send those to us on email, and we will put them into the next burning platform. But you have a chance now to be a part of the show, and we want you to join in. It is Thursday. It is the 29th of April, almost May. And it's going to be May, right, Sia? We decided that yesterday. That's next. The Burning Platform coming right up. CliffCentral.com.